ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners in Chicago and around the world, Windy City citizens and surrounding suburbanites, tech-savvy millennials and baby-booming Luddites, welcome to yet another very special The Game Show Show and Stop! Chicago, but nowhere in particular, and available everywhere on the World Wide Web. It's the Game Show Show and Stuff! That's right. The Game Show Show and Stuff. A show with games and stuff. Music, comedy, variety, and more. News, reviews, interviews, now with 100% more profanity, trivia games, guessing games, physical challenges, on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Everybody dance! And now, a man who needs no introduction, allow me to introduce your host, introducing Anderson!
Come on in. Have a seat. Come on in and have a seat there. Yeah, nice to see you all.
Thank you. I am delivered!
Wow. Quite an elaborate introduction there today.
Yes, it is, always.
I love it. Well, with me, as always, is the vociquious Mr. James Anthony Zocchelli Jazz, everybody.
Hey, thank you, Anderson. Thank you, everybody. I don't know what that word means, but please do not use my government name. I fought the law, and the law won.
Vociquious. It's a cool word.
It is a cool word.
What does it mean? We'll never know.
It's a made-up word?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
I feel like I've heard it somewhere.
Okay.
But who knows?
Who knows? Not me. That's for sure.
Here with us as also.
As also. Indeed.
Is well the put. Legendary, the sensual, Mr. Wesley Jennifer Whitaker, everybody.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, buddy.
Nice to see you,
it's
Wes.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West theme music.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West. He's Wes or something like that.
Oh, there it is. The audience clapped for me at first. I didn't know what to do.
Why do you have to do that?
Sympathy claps, I believe those are called.
Oh, thanks, audience.
Nice to see you.
I'm glad you finally recognized my sensuality.
I didn't just recognize it. I just declared it.
Oh, I see.
And with us for the first time in 2 weeks.
That's right.
Jonathan Barbara Moran.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Nice to see you, Johnny.
Likewise. I always bring you that funny stuff.
You know it.
Yeah, he is.
Johnny, how you been?
Good, man.
We missed you.
Yeah, I missed you guys. Listened to the show from last week today.
Awesome,
it was
awesome.
Very fun.
It's not quite the same. It's not quite the same without your Johnny Mojo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we need Johnny Mo's laugh and add something. In fact, we should just get clips of him laughing, and then he doesn't have to come.
That's true.
We can just play his laughter as well.
I wouldn't mind that at all. Give me a couple nights off. Everyone's wrong. Just insert just recorded putbacks that I just said, or comebacks.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I'd love that.
Yeah, we'll do it.
And with a side of sauerkraut, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, just little drops of Johnny.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'd buy that for $1. You know, that kind of stuff.
They're both recorded now, so
yeah,
good.
That's good stuff.
Wes this week went to see Suicide Squad, everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
What can you tell us?
Oh, it was pretty bad. I really liked the first 30 minutes, but everything after that was pretty much garbage. Oh,
seemed like they blew their load on the first 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, everything with the villains. The villains were so bland and uninteresting that one of them wasn't even given a name.
Really?
And Jared Leto was weird as the Joker, and I don't want to get into spoilers or anything, but it was just bad.
Yeah, I heard Jared Leto was weird in general.
Didn't he do some crazy shit to people?
Yeah,
he was trying to, you know, be in character.
Is that a part where you could see really it being important that to go into method for that role?
I don't understand why you can't just act.
Yeah, good point. That's
like
what
he was
saying.
Sending dead rats. Pigs and rats and shit to people, right?
Used condoms or something like that.
Yeah, used condoms. You send a used condom to Will Smith's house.
Oh, nice.
Oh. No, dude.
Real classic.
That'll
act.
Get you killed.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
Well, Jada will cut a bitch.
Yeah. She'll come to your house.
No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. Dressed as Lips Manless or whatever that character is from Gotham. Whatever Gotham character
right,
is.
Right, right.
She'll come to your house.
It would be a real big mess.
What a mess.
Well, anything else happening to anybody?
Man, I've been watching a lot of the Olympics. I've been enjoying the Olympics for the sportsmanship and then also for the wonderful potential for miserable news.
There's a lot of miserable news coming
out. Rio's a mess. Rio's a mess. Have you heard, though, about the gymnast from Trinidad and Tobago?
No.
Oh, okay, well, listen up, guys. Here's a little education for you real quick. So, obviously, when you go to the Olympics, one of the things that you can do to immortalize yourself is win medals. The other thing you can do is do a move that has never been done before by anyone else.
Okay.
And if you execute this move that you've put out there successfully, that move will then be named after you. So it's like the first guy who jumped backwards over the high jump bar, and it's the Foosberry Flop. And, you know, there's all these names for these things. Well, this gymnast from Trinidad and Tobago, she executed a maneuver which is technically called a change leg leap to free cross split sit.
Mm-hmm.
So basically,
sure. Yeah.
She gets on the beam.
The horse.
The balance beam. Thank you. She gets on the balance beam by springing into a split and landing on the balance beam.
In a split,
right?
Wouldn't that hurt her vagina?
You would think so. Well, here's the funny thing about it, guys.
She has no vagina.
She's a good-looking lady. Maybe that's why she's able to execute this never-done maneuver.
She's a eunuch.
But here's the thing. Her name is Marissa Dick.
So from now on,
that is called the Dick Mount.
That's awesome.
And it's so funny because it's true, you guys.
That's
it's
fantastic.
Funny because it's true.
I wonder how many guys, if you looked on Facebook right now, are named Richard Mount.
Yeah, there's probably
like,
a move
named after me now. That's
so
pretty cool.
That's the kind of fun stuff that you can pick up watching the Olympics.
I saw that Michael Phelps won his 19th gold medal.
That's right.
19th gold medal.
Yeah.
He probably has like 4,000 silver.
Yeah,
bronze.
He's got a bunch of other medals, but he's
19
the leader.
Gold.
That's crazy.
That means there is no doubt that you're the best.
Yeah,
there's no doubt in the world.
No
one will ever argue like Mark Spitz is a better swimmer.
No, it doesn't matter how much weed he smokes or how many times he gets caught doing weird shit on Snapchat or posting stupid pictures.
He's good at swimming.
He's the best ever
at swimming. Mm-hmm. Not at dick pics.
Just a little addendum to the story. There is indeed Richard Mount, Mount, who went to University of Washington.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Richard Mount, if you're out there, which you aren't.
He's only got 12 friends on Facebook, so.
He's only got 12 friends on Facebook?
We all need to friend him.
Oh. Yeah, give him a friend request. Say we're talking about
you
on the show right now.
Yeah, okay.
Let him know. Okay. See if you can get him to call up. Friend him and then send him a message right now.
So did you guys actually see pictures of Michael Phelps? He's got these cupping scars all over his body. It looks like he's been slapped with a metal a bunch of times.
It does, or like a big rubber mallet, just whap.
Because those guys love that stuff. They love all the Eastern medicine stuff.
Well, I mean, their whole existence is based on their physical prowess, so they got to take care of the machine, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, is that why he's eating $5 footlongs from Subway? He's like, after I get cupped for an hour, I like to eat a meatball sandwich from Subway.
Oh, no.
That sounds so gross.
And I saw a story today. I don't know if it's true, but apparently a kayaker hit a couch during an event.
What?
Yeah, the couch in the river.
Yeah, the couch in the river.
No like, way.
Gotta dodge couches now when you compete in the Olympics.
See, those are the kinds of miserable news stories that I'm talking about.
You
There's so
stuff.
Much potential for disaster out there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Looking back on it, we should have
the
done an
defeat.
Olympics news.
Yeah.
Segment on
well,
the show.
It's not over until the, 22nd or something like that?
Yeah, we have another week to do it.
We got 16 days of glory.
That's right. Go USA!
USA! USA! USA!
I think we're ahead in the medal count right now.
You gotta be worried about
exciting.
China.
Mm-hmm.
And I also saw this guy from Tonga carrying the flag in during the opening ceremony.
Oh, everybody saw that.
Yeah. I didn't think he was that good looking. If I can be a good judge of dudes.
Yeah, you
he's
can.
Not my type of dude, I don't think.
No, and any dude that oils up that much
too
is
much
a
oil.
Little suspect.
How are you going to catch him?
Yeah. Sneaky bastard.
He's a slippery
How
mixing?
You going to hold on to that dude? He's going to slide right away.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe that's part of the
it's
point.
Like you're a jiu-jitsu dude or something, taekwondo or
I
something.
I think he was taekwondo, yeah.
How could you go? How could you even put on a uniform with that much oil on your butt?
I don't know, but he was wearing a skirt.
Yeah.
When he was walking with the flag.
They were like, here's this dude. And all the girls are like, yeah.
I don't know why.
Because he's primal. He's a warrior.
I guess
he's,
so.
But he had kind of a weird face. He had like a West face.
Yeah. You mean strikingly beautiful?
No, he had a bad case of West face.
Tell me why.
Shut up, Wes.
Yeah, damn it.
Well, listen, before we get into the news today,
uh-huh.
I think we should do weekly Wes's, now what is it called? Worldwide Wes's weekly Wes Jones.
Yeah!
But before we do it, I also have to say that this segment, Worldwide Wes's weekly Western, is brought to you by Buffalo Joe's Chicken Wings.
Ooh, really?
Usually we do a hamburger segment.
That's right.
But today we're going with Buffalo Joe's.
All right.
Right under the train tracks on Howard.
I like it. Yeah. That's
everyone
my spot.
Everyone loves train track chicken wings.
So let me tell you what we got today. Today we have an order of the suicide wings from Buffalo Joe's.
In keeping with our Suicide Squad weekend and
God.
Our desire to make Wes eat things with
and
sauce
to commit
all
suicide.
Over it.
Yeah, that's right. So here we go. Okay, everybody, we can judge these from an A to F scale or a 1 to 10 scale.
Okay.
10 being the highest or the lowest.
Okay, great. I love all the flexibility you've given us, Anderson. Oh, man, they've got jalapenos right on there.
Yeah, they come covered in jalapenos.
Oh, man, I can tell they're already
Oh, yeah. That's pretty hot. It's good, man.
They're a little sweet.
They're very tasty. Well, that's good. That's real good. I like a little bit of spice. Because I'm so sensual.
Mm-hmm. How are you doing with that sauce over there?
Yeah. I'm doing all right.
Is that bothering you on your hands?
Oh, I forgot I told you guys about my weird hand thing.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, you told me.
Your other weird hand thing.
Why do I give you guys ammunition against me? I don't know.
I don't know.
But it's not bothering you.
Not yet. That's what I'm glad Jazz gave me some wet wipes before we started.
Worldwide West's wet wipes.
I will say.
He said, clean yourself up. You disgust me. And he threw some wet wipes at me.
Yeah, and he was like, money's on the dresser, whore. These are spicy, but I feel like they're going to be spicier later.
Yeah, they're going to be
spicier
later.
Like, the second you lie down to go to bed, do you get heartburn like that?
Oh, I fucking do, dude. It's the worst.
Yep.
Where as soon as you lay down, it's like indigestion.
Once you're horizontal, yeah.
Why is that? It's just
well,
that's the way your tubes are.
Well, your
physics.
Is, yeah, so like it, they have a tendency to go upward fast, up towards the esophagus.
When did that start for you? 20s?
No. Much later, 40. Not until I was like 40 years old did I start having any issues. I could eat anything. I had a cast iron stomach all my life. My family used to call me the human incinerator because anything that didn't get eaten at dinner, I would finish.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
But now, you got to worry about eating stuff too late at night and all that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. I mean, and I'm not even joking. Like, I mean, there'd be stuff in the fridge. My mom would be like, I think that's spoiled. You need to throw it out. And I'd be like, nope, I'm going to eat it.
Well, I think it's like God invented coleslaw.
You're right. Thank you, God, for coleslaw. It makes these suicide wings survivable.
Now, why are they called suicide wings?
It's the name of them.
Because you're taking your life in your hands when you eat them.
Mm-hmm. I guess. Thanks for answering the question.
Clearly, and it's also an allusion to the fact that...
You ass.
When How am I an ass? You asked a dumbass question.
Uh-oh. I wasn't talking to you, Johnny. I was talking to Andy.
That's their name. Why are they called that? Because fuck you, that's why.
Jesus.
That was good stuff. These suicide wings from Buffalo Joe's are fantastic.
They are, aren't they?
I don't usually get the suicide. I'll get the hot ones.
Yeah, I can already tell they're going to fucking...
But not the suicide.
I'm not big on places that don't take credit cards in the year 2016.
Yeah.
That is a little...
Also, if I'm really hungry, I get fucking, like, really ornery.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go into places and it seems like the last place on the block or like, you know, you've been walking to this place forever or whatever, and you wait in line and you get to the front and there's no fucking sign anywhere that says cash only.
Right.
And you get up there and they're like, sorry, cash only. Sometimes I lose my shit, dude.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I won't say anything and I'll just turn around and leave.
Yeah.
Like after I've ordered.
Yeah.
Like, last week, we were going to have, instead of KFC, there was this place on Western we were going to get some cheeseburgers from for the segment.
Oh, okay.
And we went over there, and went in, and I ordered. I ordered, like, 2 gyros and 2 cheeseburgers or something like okay. that for the show.
Sounds good.
They make it. They got it already packaged up and everything. And then there's, I go, okay, and I give them my credit card. And they're like, sorry, cash only. And I look around, and there's no sign anywhere that says cash only. So I didn't say a single word. I just walked right out the door.
Wow. Did you silently shake your head first?
Yeah. You know me. You know the white guy head shake?
A disapproving shake.
Disapproving dad head shake. I'm so disappointed.
I'll go back
you.
To my minivan to talk to my disappointed kids.
That's right. And then I'm going to get on my smartphone and write you a negative Yelp review.
Yeah. And then we'll home. See about cash only.
And then I go home and not have sex with my wife.
Yeah.
I'm so fucking angry.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I'll beat her up.
That's no. That's,
oh, my God. Oh. Maybe not.
Take out my aggression on that line cook. But then you go to, like, I went to a farmer's market the other day in Lincoln Square, and they had, you know, like, the farms, the weird farms, like,
yeah,
setup
yeah.
shop there.
Of course. Yeah.
It's like a pound of tomatoes for a dollar or whatever.
Right.
I'm They've like, got their little square. And all
yeah,
the
tomatoes look so good. And it's $1.50 a pound. So I said, I'll take a pound. And then I had $1.50 in my pocket. And they're like, we take credit cards, you know. Yeah. I'm like, how come you fucking take credit cards?
Right.
And a restaurant, an actual honest to God restaurant,
right.
doesn't
down,
take credit
order
cards.
And brick restaurant. It's ridiculous.
The argument is, and this is my personal experience, is that the restaurant, in that case, they say it's too expensive to have a credit card because, like, they'll have people come in and get, like, a soda fountain drink for, like, $1.50, and the cost for actually running the card and managing the fucking machines and everything is more expensive than it's worth.
But wouldn't it be, like, say it's $50 a month, all right? Just for an example.
Sure.
Sure.
Are you telling me you can't make $50 a month in people who come in here thinking that you take credit cards? Or who
Maybe.
Don't get stuff because they're like, oh, I would order a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But now I can't because I only have $10 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, when they actually make your food, package it up, and then they tell you no credit cards.
Yeah.
They just lost that money.
Yeah, they sure did. That'll teach them. Or yeah. will it?
You want some coleslaw.
Assholes. I'm good, man. Thank you.
Sure, I'll rock some slaw.
Slaw dog.
Yeah. All right, Wes, what's our question of the week?
Ah, yes. This is an oldie but a goodie. Many people have wondered this, and I'm going to ask you gentlemen now.
Okay.
In the zombie apocalypse, which will totally happen, which one of us will last the longest?
Mm. Wow, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
And this is some good
What city are we in?
We're in Chicago. We are ourselves, our lives, in Chicago.
2016.
2016. Most places take credit cards. Some still don't.
What?
These are fast zombies. I should let you know.
Oh, these are fast zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to be fast zombies?
Because it's my world.
Okay. And this is which one of us survives?
Yeah.
The longest.
The longest.
Okay.
Where does the zombie invasion start?
Downtown.
Okay. How do we find out about it?
The Facebook. Where do we get all of our news? Facebook.
All of our bad news.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. How does the infection spread?
I hope it's not coleslaw, because I'm never going to stop eating coleslaw now. This is really good.
As hell, right?
Normal zombie rules. You get bitten, or you get your blood.
Yeah. Is there a cure?
No cure. Not yet.
Wow. All right, this is what I do. I've thought about this. Go down to the dock and get a boat that has both sails and a motor.
Okay.
Okay.
You fucking get on the boat. You get as much like supplies as you can manage on the boat, and then you get off the shore. You get away from the, and then you just float or travel to wherever you can go, like under the cover of darkness, to go back into some less populated area to get more supplies.
Oh, wow.
All right.
You've thought very long and hard about this, haven't you, John?
It's the only way to survive, because it's like not like these fuckers are going to go out in the goddamn water.
Yeah.
It's true. They can't.
They do in World War
and
Z.
There's that.
Well, and then we have the advantage of being on a freshwater lake, so we don't have to worry about, like, finding water and all
That's
that.
True. That's sure. true. Well thought out, John.
Wow. I'm going with Johnny Moe.
Yeah.
Because I know myself, I would instantly die.
That being said, I don't know shit about fucking sailboats and all
that. Oh, okay.
I know how to sail a boat.
Oh, okay.
And now I have Johnny's idea.
Mm-hmm.
That means he's going to murder me.
You steal your boat that you stole.
And as you lay dying, you could have been like, we could have worked together.
Yeah, I'd be like, bye, Felicia. As I drive up. Well, I'm going to say the two guys without cars are immediately dead.
Yeah.
Why?
Because you can't get anywhere. You're stuck in the city.
It's hard. It's hard escaping a zombie on a bike, especially if it's a fast zombie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
And I don't have the capability of like breaking into a car and fucking stealing a car?
I don't know. Do you?
I think I do.
Oh, really?
You would do that?
Well.
Yeah, fuck yeah. The end of life
I feel
is
like
a
Johnny Moe would take time to like write a note.
Sorry.
Sorry, everyone. Here's my
I'll
insurance.
When I'm done with it, I'll make sure to leave a full tank of gas.
Yeah, I left my bike in its stead.
And then my ass will be sitting there trying to boot up Uber. Like, come on. Come on.
And then an Uber full of zombies pulls up. Yeah, like, this Prius is full of zombies.
How did this happen?
Why is my Uber driver named Urrar?
I ordered an Uber X.
All right, so what floor do you live on?
I live on the third.
Okay, that's an advantage. See, this is what I was going to say right off the bat, no pun intended. I feel like I got a lot of weapons. I have a number of bats. I have heavy-duty flashlights, large blades. I don't have any weaponry that, you know, is... I don't have any pistols or guns or anything like that.
Don't say that on the radio.
Why?
Because then people think they can come right over here.
Oh, man, but they don't know where we are, do they? They have no idea where we are.
We could be in the room next to you.
Right. You're like a crazy person.
Good luck trying to find me, bitches.
Well, you live on the second floor. It's Johnny, true. What floor do you live on?
Top floor.
All right.
Top of
top
what?
Top floor is good.
Of a five-story building.
Oh, ooh, fifth floor. Okay. Fifth floor is good. I live in a garden.
Oh, you're done.
Ooh, yeah, sorry.
You're done, son.
Sorry, bro.
And I'll tell you what else. Nikki, my girlfriend, is going to weigh me down because she's going to be like, are we going to need our coats? What kind of shoes should I take? Which purse is better? I'll be like, please! Let's go!
Just grab all the knives.
Please, anything! This knife or this knife? Well, excuse me.
All right. Serrated or not?
Are we going to need towels?
Don't forget your sunscreen. And a snack.
Dude, I think about that shit all the time. When we're sitting out ready to go,
you're thinking,
we're just ready to go, like, to the beach for the day. All we need is our bathing suits and a towel and maybe a blanket.
Sure.
I take a kite. Yeah. Because I'm an old man.
You love taking kites places.
Your octopus kite.
Yeah. And Nikki, it's like we're packing. It's like we're going camping for 3 fucking months. Should we take a cooler? I'm going to need flip-flops and my shoes. And this hat, and also this hair thing, and this sunscreen, and this other sunscreen for my face. Fuck, man, come on. I'm like standing in the doorway, and I'm like, please, just come on. They say that about Jewish ladies. They take forever to go. And
oh, God.
Here we go.
I think all people say that about all of their ladies.
Yes.
The Jews. Yeah.
The Poles.
The Poles. The Francos.
The blacks.
Yeah, the blacks.
Everyone's like, you know, a black woman.
The Mexicans,
woman.
The Italians.
Irish ladies, too.
Yeah, yeah, see?
I'm basically just ladies.
Yeah. Why'd you have to go and get racial about it?
Yeah, man.
You're sorry, white ass.
Sorry. You know, that's what happened to What's-His-Face and Fiddler on the Roof. That's how he started playing on the roof. He was like, fucking wife
won't
leave.
Can't wait any longer.
Yeah. What's that character's name? Yes, Moff?
Tevye.
Tevye.
Yes, Mom.
Hilarious.
We need to write a musical about a character named Yes, Mom, who's trying to get out of the house during the zombie apocalypse. And he's got his clarinet. He can't get his wife.
He's like, I got, all we need
together.
Is my klezmer music.
That's right.
To help us. And the wife is like, please, can we take sandwiches for the road?
I need a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, make sure hard-boiled you egg.
Do it, maybe some bottles of water.
An apple.
And this chair. And this remote control.
Okay, here you go.
All right, so Johnny Moe is trapped on a boat in Lake Michigan.
I'm not trapped. I'm surviving.
Yeah, unable to sail it. You're just in the middle of the lake.
I'll push off, and I'll figure out the motor, and then I'll be fine.
All right, cool. All right. Jazz is in his apartment. He's got his weapons all around him. I assume you have the black under-eye paint well, the war paint.
I have my war paint on, and I'm wearing my – I have
shit.
A jumpsuit, goggles. I have a hat. I have all my military gear, too, guys, so –
I instantly die. Andy is
still
yelling
waiting
at
for
Nikki.
Yeah.
In his garden apartment.
Until zombies break in.
Yeah, I'm going to be down there. The zombie will be eating my neck, and she'll be like, well, excuse me.
Let me just send this email real quick.
Nikki does this thing where she loves to drink. She has, like, a regimen where she drinks so much water a day, right?
Okay, good, good.
Like, one of those, how big is that?
32 ounces.
Yeah. So she has one of those. And she does this thing where she'll stand by the sink and she'll fill it up, and then she'll chug the whole thing before she goes anyplace.
Sure.
To try to get in.
Sure.
Like, she tries to
I do
over.
That, too.
Yeah, that's a good one. It's a good technique.
So I'll be standing at the door. We'll be, like, out the door, late for something.
Right.
She'll have her purse on, and we'll be leaving, and then she'll be like, oh, wait, I have to chug a bottle of water real fast and go back in. And I'll just be standing there with the doorknob like, what the fuck? This is my whole life. It's just standing at this door.
And all you're hearing is,
oh,
God.
And she's like, now I want to change jackets. It took so long, it's cold out now.
Is this hoodie cuter than this one?
Yeah. So maybe we need to have a talk where I can say, like, listen, if there is a zombie apocalypse, I will come back for you, but I'm going right now.
You have to pre-pack a bag with, like, you know, all of the right gear, different weights of garments, a hoodie. Everything's going to have to, you know, I'm just saying, because, you know, for cold weather, for warm weather, you know, all those different things. And also, you want to make sure that it's red so that if she gets blood on her, she doesn't feel like it's going to stand out.
Yeah.
Smart thinking.
True. Yeah.
Good call.
Thanks.
Don't want anything to clash in the zombie apocalypse.
No, you should. No, you still want to look stylish.
I don't think you want to see.
All right. Well, I think we decided Johnny Moe would survive.
I think so, too.
Because eventually, one of us would get eaten like pulled pork.
Right. Probably like
pulled pork. Pulled pork.
Eating zombies.
Yeah.
All those zombies.
You guys are missing out on this celery and ranch over here.
Really? Celery and ranch?
I feel like fucking Steve Dahl. I'm just sitting on the mic eating. The whole show.
Hey, there's worse guys to be like. That's for damn sure.
I don't think that.
Howie Mandel.
Body-wise.
Well.
He is a big old fatty.
Jeez Louise, let's be nice, guys. He might listen
to this.
I'm not
fat shaming Steve Dahl.
Yeah, please don't.
I'm slut shaming him.
Now that's different.
Whore!
Filthy brazen whore.
You brazen whore.
Oh, temptress.
You're brazen with your whoreness.
All right, your that's horality. A good weekly question, Wes. Good job.
Thanks, guys. Fun discussion.
Yeah, fun.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West. Theme music.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West. He's West or something like that.
Yeah. Oh. God damn it, audience.
Tell me why.
Tell me why. Please. Please just tell me why.
Well, Jazz, let's go ahead and do the news.
Time now for Anderson Lauffer presents something about things in the news and stuff.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, America's favorite segment of the game show and stuff. Anderson Lauffer presents something about things in the news and stuff.
Now, workspace looks like a graveyard over here. Chicken bones.
It is.
Or like a voodoo ceremony.
Or a high school cafeteria.
That's right.
I'll throw down the chicken bones to see your future.
What was that?
That's my Jamaican
lady.
My Jamaican lady.
That was spot on.
I'll throw down the wings.
Yeah, it's like something out of Marked for Death starring Steven Seagal.
I don't care.
I don't care about ya. The wing bones say you're gonna to die. Well, Jazz, big news today.
Oh, yeah?
Incest.
They say it's best.
Incest is best.
I don't know. But what's the news about incest, Anderson?
A mother and son whose forbidden love affair could land them each a lengthy jail sentence have declared they are madly in love and nothing will tear them apart.
Oh, no. What?
Monica Mares, 36, and her son Caleb Peterson, 19, of Clovis, New Mexico. That already sounds like the worst place on earth.
Yeah.
They're already like, we fucking live in Clovis, New Mexico.
Yeah, leave us alone. Why did you put us here,
Let me
God?
Fuck this kid of mine.
Oh, God.
What else is going on?
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, and also, she's 36, he's 19. Problems.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, 36 isn't old.
Yeah, for a 19-year-old son? Do the math.
Too young, you mean.
Yeah, do the math.
16. I was getting to that.
Yeah.
Monica and her son Caleb face up to 18 months in prison if found guilty of incest.
Oh.
The couple said they are willing to risk everything to be together.
Oh.
And they've decided to go public with their affair in a bid to raise awareness of genetic sexual attraction relationships called GSA.
Oh.
Mares, a mother of 9.
Oh.
What?
God, how could you even
fit
into that thing?
Holy
oh, Lord
God.
Jesus.
Like what? Throwing a Pez down a hallway. A mother of 9 gave birth to Peterson when she was 16 years old, and he was put up for adoption.
Oh, my gosh.
They then reunited for the first time last year after reconnecting over Facebook.
Oh!
The couple, who live separately in Clovis, New Mexico, developed feelings for each other, and then their relationship became sexual a few weeks later.
Oh.
It started just by kissing, Mary said, but then it went deeper.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
but they are banned from having any contact with each other by the courts right now.
Oh,
so
man.
Hopefully their love can survive the court system. You can make it out of the other side of this.
Nine kids.
Like Jesus. Andy Dufresne in The Shawshank.
That's right. Oh, my God, man.
Wow.
Could you imagine blowing your son?
Oh, come on, Andy.
God. Well, they're now I have an idea for next week's question.
Yeah.
Would you blow your son?
What a mess.
Oh, Lord.
In a life or death. My dad listens to this. We gotta put it in somebody else's name.
Oh gosh, almighty!
Awful.
Whew.
Jeez.
Well, the community of Clovis has obviously been ripped apart.
Yeah.
The GSA relationship.
Another made up fucking condition.
Yeah, everything's got a goddamn acronym, and everything's a condition now. That's
bullshit,
we
need to find
man.
Some information here on genetic sexual attraction. We need to get one of those people to be interviewed. On
that actually would be interesting.
It would be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The weirder, the better.
Just, like, tear them down the entire time.
If you know anybody with genetic sexual attraction, send us an email to andstuff@radiomisfits.com.
Yeah, do it. I want to know if there's a condition for me not being able to stop eating this coleslaw.
Genetic incest is brought to you by Buffalo Joe's. Jazz, here's one of my favorite kind of stories. Drunk idiots.
Sounds like all my friends.
Yeah, we've all been drunk idiots before.
Oh, yeah.
But not like this. He was so drunk, he thought he was in a cab. But he wasn't. He was in a police car.
Oh, my God.
Toronto police say an intoxicated man got into a police vehicle Saturday night thinking it was a taxi. The officer says she stopped to get gas at a police station garage in Liberty Village when the man climbed inside the cruiser. He was arrested after the officer discovered he was wanted on an outstanding warrant.
Oh,
awesome.
Man.
If you're wanted, don't get in a cop car.
Uh-huh. You would think that would be rule
like,
number one.
Like, really pay attention to the cars you get into. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You would think so. Right.
Well, also, isn't it a weird thing that you can actually get into a cop car's backseat? Because normally those are locked. You have to,
that's true.
The cop actually has to get into the car and unlock it from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think also Canada, they generally have... You know, like, they don't lock their doors up there.
Yeah,
so
it's just a horse.
It's an open door policy.
It's a horse. That's a little more lax up there because it's a horse.
He was hoping for a horse-drawn carriage home. So he jumped on the horse.
Like, let me get in the carriage, eh? Well, this next story, Jazz, is very important because of our talk recently about the alligator problem.
Oh, woe is me!
Now, we talked recently about how alligators are the devil, basically.
Yeah, they're a problem.
They're terrifying.
They're fucking terrifying. On last week's news, if you remember, they just found an alligator, like, with a corpse hanging out of its mouth.
Basically,
you remember that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was a Florida story, if I'm not mistaken.
That was a Florida story, indeed.
But this is how terrifying this is. This is out of West Springfield, Massachusetts.
What?
Oh, boy.
Police in Massachusetts have captured and removed a 6-foot alligator from the backyard of a home.
Oh,
no.
Wow.
They were
dispatched to the West Springfield property at about noon last Thursday, following a tip from a concerned resident. They extracted the alligator with two animal control catch poles, one tied around its neck, the other around its tail. The reptile, which weighed an estimated 180 to 200 pounds, was taken to the zoo. If they're in Massachusetts, that's not where alligators live.
It is not indigenous to that area.
No.
So why couldn't there be alligators here, is what I'm saying.
In this room?
Like, fuck, dude, you could walk down the street. Like, there's some crazy shit happening.
I'm not worried about the street. Wes is asking about this room. I need to check up under some shit right now.
Oh, man, I got a story for you coming up.
Okay.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Gonna really... maybe upset you.
Okay. Thanks for the warning.
You're not going to want to sleep here by yourself.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Okay, so crocodiles and alligators, they can survive in freshwater and saltwater. Is that right?
I've experienced
What's that jazz in your house?
I don't think you want to see.
Oh, my gosh.
So, okay, ready for the next one?
Almost. Wait a minute. I wanted to look into the difference between a crocodile and an alligator, which
I've actually
researched before, but honestly, I can never remember.
Well, I know it's their
the
snouts.
Difference.
Their snouts are different.
They
one's
do have
more
snout
thin
shape.
And one's more wide.
That's right. Alligators have a U-shaped snout, while crocodiles tend to be more pointy and V-shaped.
But what's the difference to where they live?
Because if they're living in swamps in Florida, those are all basically saltwater.
Right. Crocodiles are saltwater habitat livers, while alligators are freshwater marsh and lake dwellers.
So they could be in Lake Michigan.
I guess it's possible for an alligator.
Has anyone ever found an alligator in Lake Michigan?
Wow.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe we should get an alligator on the show.
Hey, maybe that's your future weekly question.
Hey, all right.
Or actually, that could be another Johnny Mo teaches you about stuff.
Yeah, let's learn more about crocodiles.
There you go. 6 foot out, November 8th, 2011.
Wow.
Police caught a 6 foot long alligator roaming the property of a southern Michigan church.
Wow.
Wow.
Jesus.
Jesus is right.
Get ready.
That's weird, man.
Better be praying to Jesus when you find that alligator in your church.
God, dude.
God, is there anything
what
more
would you do? I'd just
terrifying.
Take off.
Yeah, no, I mean,
call
I don't
sick.
Even know if I'd call anyone. I'd say, I'm out of here.
I'd call animal control.
Out. Sell the house.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
The terminal.
I don't know what you mean by that, but I don't think you mean a bus stop.
Now, this is an interesting story because this is one of the stories that there could be a movie about. A Tom Hanks movie, for example.
Okay.
If we whitewashed it.
Sure, okay.
Which we want to do.
Do we?
Not anymore. Not after last week.
No more whitewashing, please.
Boo! Story out of Berlin. You ready for this? This is amazing that this still happens. A Chinese tourist who lost his wallet in Germany signed the wrong paperwork and ended up being placed in a refugee camp.
Oh, my God.
What?
Christoph Schluterman, an official with the German Red Cross, which runs the home, said on Monday that the man set machinery in motion that he couldn't get out of.
Oh, no.
The unidentified man's trouble started in early July when he lost his wallet after arriving in the southwestern German city of Stuttgart.
Well done.
Officials have figured out that instead of going to police to file a stolen goods report, he somehow ended up at an authority that presented him with an asylum application.
Oh, no.
From there, he was sent to Dortmund in northwestern Germany and onto the refugee camp in Dulemen. He simply did what he was told, Schluterman said. He said he quickly noticed the man because he was different from the others. Very, very helpless.
And if you're look really helpless in a refugee camp, that's pretty helpless.
Yeah.
With help from a translation app and then from a translator at a Chinese restaurant, it became clear that the man wanted to travel to France and not seek asylum.
Okay.
It took German officials 12 days to put the story together.
Wow.
And send him back to China.
Oh, man.
That's awful.
Wow. So some fucking guy just going to visit Germany on vacation or Italy, you know?
Yeah.
And then he loses his wallet, goes, ask, do you have paperwork to just fill out so if you find my wallet, you can send it to me? And they hand him seeking political asylum paperwork.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
That's a whole bunch of fuck-ups in a row.
Yeah. How could that even happen in modern day? Couldn't he be like, can I just make a phone call to someone and help with this?
Assuming that he's able to speak the language that he gets.
Oh, yeah.
But can he point to a fucking telephone? Like, I need to use that thing.
They
right
might
there.
Not be listening to him at that point, though. You know what I mean?
And they're like, getting this asylum.
Germany, yeah.
And Germany right now has the most amount of refugees, and they continue to fly in and bus in and train in every day. So he might be in the middle of a gigantic frickin' mess right now. And they just don't
like
have the
one
time.
Of those big, like, Scarface camps that they had for the Cubans in Florida.
Yeah. What a mess.
It's true. But oy.
Another great Florida story. Yeah, Scarface.
Good old Florida.
So he was sent back to China.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
They were like, nice vacation, bro.
Yeah. What'd you do? Oh, I went to a refugee camp. I went to Disney World
with a bunch
of
fucking like Sudanese people.
Yeah,
it should have been like. And then Shooterman said he was different than the rest of them. Very, very Asian looking.
Oh my gosh!
Mad cows.
What did I do to upset them?
You've heard of these the cameras that all police officers are supposed to wear now?
Yeah, the body cam.
Body cams.
Yeah.
Well, one came in handy in Windham, Maine.
Really?
The other
How
day.
So, Anderson? Do
a
tell.
A Maine police officer dealing with a possible mad cow situation in Massachusetts filmed his encounter with the disobedient bovines. The Windham Police Department posted a video to Facebook that was recorded on the cell phone of Officer Ernest McVane. So not a body cam, a cell phone camera.
Oh, okay, okay.
When he responded to a report of two loose cows wandering into the road. We got a possible mad cow situation here, he said. We're going to handle this.
Oh, no.
Then the cop, starts yelling, hey, you cows, just step over to the side of the road and put your hands up.
Oh, my God.
Don't run from me. I'm the police.
Oh, no.
The cows fled, the officer, fled, nearly colliding with a mailbox.
I wish I could have seen that.
That's booze. Leave it alone. The cop yells at one of the cows as it stops to sniff a alcohol bottle on the road. That's not good for you.
Oh, God.
It is unclear whether the cows were eventually captured.
It's unclear.
What?
How is this even a published news story if they haven't figured out what the hell happened to the goddamn cows? Come on, man.
Why is this guy yelling? Yeah. This story is all fucked up, man.
It's so weird.
I mean, come on.
It's very convoluted.
He could have just, you know, staged an event with some cows if
first
he wanted
of all,
to make a viral video.
First of all, the story is from the Maine newspaper.
Yeah.
And the story is published, and it says the location, Windham, Maine.
Right.
A Maine police officer was dealing with a possible mad cow situation in Massachusetts.
Really?
Why the fuck is this guy in Massachusetts yelling at cows?
You know, if you're a cop, though, you're a cop everywhere. You know what I'm
saying?
Is
that true?
No, not literally, technically, but, you know, you're not always wearing your uniform.
Oh,
but
I
I'm
see.
Just saying,
so this guy's wandering around.
Yeah, if you're a peacekeeping officer, he's going to try to keep the peace wherever he goes.
He was trying to put him in a refugee camp, I think.
Right, you're probably right.
Well,
he's like Lorenzo Lamas in Renegade.
Yeah.
Good one, Johnny Will.
Only a lot less good looking.
Hey, yeah. Well, you don't know. I've never seen him.
All
although,
right.
There are a few guys that are as good looking as Lorenzo Lamas. Let's
there are a it. Few? Or
there are a few guys that
oh,
look
there
as
are
good.
A few, yeah. The Tonga guy.
Yeah, maybe.
The Tonga.
Tonga. I was like, where the fuck is that? Is that a real place? When I saw the guy. And I went and found Tonga. You know where it is? Middle of nowhere.
Yep.
It's like in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, how do they even have Olympic athletes there? I mean, I guess everyone, if you live in Tonga and you were like, I want to be in the Olympics, they'd be like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you got a good chance.
I imagine that he doesn't live there all the time. He probably just represents his country. He probably trains in some other country.
He could be. You can be
from there
naturalized to live elsewhere, but still a citizen of
It's like
Tonga.
Like Ted Cruz.
Or Fiji. Or, yeah, that guy.
It's like when the guy who used to play for the Bulls, the French guy. Not French.
Pau Gasol.
Pau Gasol. Uh-huh. When he and his brother play. They,
Spaniard.
Yeah, they play for Spain. So
that's right. Mm-hmm.
They don't live in Spain, but they play for Spain.
That's right.
All right. I have one more news story.
One more?
And after talking about Komodo dragons last week,
yeah.
I thought I would find a cool, real Komodo dragon horror story.
Awesome.
And I found it. Now, do you want to hear about the actual thing we talked about last week? The actual news story about that?
Sure.
Or do you want to hear a new one about Komodo dragons in an office building?
I think newer is better.
Yeah, newer is always better.
Okay. This will make you not want to sleep in your house.
Oh, no.
In 2009, a man named Mr. Mayan headed to the staff office as he would any other morning.
Okay. Oh, he's doomed. I can already tell with a name like that.
Like all, yeah, that's a bad way to start.
Mr. Mayan.
Like all the other buildings on Rinka Island, Mayans units sat on stilts, and hungry Komodo dragons would often gather below to wait for the occasional food scrap.
Oh, good.
On this morning, however, Mayans sensed that he was not alone. Just settling in at his desk, he looked down. At his sandaled feet lay a dragon peering back up at him under his desk.
Oh, my gosh.
As it turned out, one of the cleaning crew had left the office door open the night before, and the hungry predator had crept in, likely in search of food.
Oh.
Heart pounding, Mayan attempted to slowly withdraw his leg from the dragon's vicinity.
Oh,
but he moved too quickly, cueing the motion-sensitive carnivore to lunge. The dragon chomped down on Mayan's leg, clenching its jaw shut. Mayan kicked at the dragon's neck, then grabbed its jaws with his hand and wrenched its mouth open, slicing his arm in the process.
Jesus.
Although Mayan shouted for help, most of the rangers were in the cafeteria and could not hear his screams. Only one picked up on the noise and came to investigate. I shouted and he came to help me, but he didn't like to come up because the dragon was still moving around, he explained. Then he saw the blood on the floor, and he got everyone from the kitchen to come. So all the people are coming running here.
Uh-huh.
But then all the other dragons follow as well.
Oh.
What?
No way!
The dragons, which can smell blood and the scent of death from nearly 6 miles away, followed the crowd. Some rangers fended off the would-be feeding frenzy, while a couple of others darted into Mayan's office to help their colleague fight free from his attacker.
Holy shit.
Maneuvering their injured friend through the pack of dragons waiting outside, they managed to carry him to the island's docks, where he was rushed to Flores Island's hospital.
Wow.
But the injuries were too small for a medical center, so he had to be flown to Bali for emergency surgery and 55 stitches.
Oh.
It took him 6 months to recover.
Oh. Holy shit.
Oh.
Despite the encounter, Mayan went back to work, although he only stays indoors now, so he does not have to deal directly with the animals. The dragon, I can't remember which one, but he's still alive, he told a newspaper.
Oh.
I think he's bigger now. If he had a bigger neck then, I couldn't have opened it.
That is fucking crazy.
Wow. Dragons are real, guys.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up, right?
It's super fucked up.
I'll see.
Anyway, next week I'll tell you some of the descriptions in this dragon story I was telling you guys last week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I was wrong about some of the numbers of dragons and things like that. But man, there's one section. I don't even need to tell you the whole story. I'll just tell you this one section really quickly.
Okay.
Police went into Huff's apartment Wednesday morning after receiving calls from concerned family and coworkers at Martin Oldsmobile. Officers found the television on, the heat up, and Huff's body against the door with 7 dragons on top of him.
Oh my God.
Dude. That's
7 dragons.
Oh,
and he brought them into his own house, though, this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Whoa.
So, there you go.
Now I'm afraid of...
The police officer said, his apartment, for such a small place with so many large lizards, was fairly clean.
Oh, wow.
Oh, great.
Good for him.
Except for the gigantic pool of blood and guts by the door.
So who would win in a fight? An alligator or a Komodo dragon?
I think an alligator.
Alligator? I don't know. I think the Komodo dragon has got the dexterity.
I bet we could find a video of Komodo dragon versus alligator somewhere on the internet.
I'm searching now.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Whatever. Anyway, let's take a quick break, Jazz. And when we come back, we have Johnny, Sean, Patrick, Leonard.
Nice. And in case you were wondering, when I started to Google alligator versus Komodo dragon, the second thing that pops up is video.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
All right, sounds good. We'll be right back with more of the game show and stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network right after this.
Who I think it is.
Is this Sean Patrick Leonard?
That would be me.
Oh,
who's speaking?
What's up, dude?
What's happening, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
We're great. How are you?
Good, good. Enjoying the Cubs game. They're up 3-1, so
awesome.
Good night.
Yeah,
man, that's pretty good.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. We're going to start the show. We're going to talk a little bit about being on Chicago Fire.
Okay.
And we're
Sounds cool.
And we're going to talk about making commercials and movies and how hard it is.
Oh, okay. Not a problem there.
And then, of course, you can take time to promote Rockabye.
Right, Rockabye.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Let me get that info up real fast. Hang on.
Give Andy a second to get it up.
He always needs a second.
Here we go. Okay,
sure.
So when we start, you're going to hear like some crazy noises, some sound effects, and then I'll introduce you.
Okay? Okay, cool. Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, no sweat.
All right.
And here we go. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Game Show Show and Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. I'm Jazz. He's Andy.
Thank you so much, my vociferous friend.
Uh-huh. Happy to be vociferous for you.
Well, we are joined tonight by a great, great, and I don't use the word great lightly, Jazz.
No, you sure don't.
I use it because I don't know any other words for something
right.
better than good.
That's true.
A great Chicago actor.
Yes, he is. And a great guy.
He's a great guy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I've seen him around. Never had any
problems.
I've never had to kick his ass.
He is, you may have seen him on Chicago Fire.
Really?
You may have seen him in national commercials. But he's here today to talk about his new movie called Rockabye. All the way from the north side, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sean Patrick Leonard.
What's happening?
What's going on, man?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Now,
thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for taking the time out on this night. The Cubs are winning, as you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give you a play-by-play if you want.
No. That's all right. That's okay.
We're going to watch it on the DVR.
Yeah. Play-by-plays yep. of baseball games are pretty boring. It's not like soccer where it's always passing or whatever.
That's right. Holds it. He holds
it's
it.
True.
He holds it. He looks around a lot. He moves his hat. Scratches. So tell us, what was it like working on Chicago Fire? What part did
it
you
was. I was the very memorable, very, very memorable part of the truck driver in season 2, episode 2, that was carrying a house from one state to another via his truck,
uh-huh.
and he gets rear-ended and drops his house onto motorcyclists on the highway.
And they die?
And so, you'll have to see the episode to find out, man. I don't want to spoil it for you.
Wait, wasn't it like 5 years ago?
It was about 3 seasons ago, but yeah, don't spoil it for
us. Yeah. If you haven't seen the episode, you should go back and see it.
I've never seen that show, but I will tell you, if it's anything like the other Dick Wolf shows, so you come
yeah.
on and you cry a lot, and then another guy, they're like, hey, what do you know about this driver? And they're like, yeah, I know him. He's left-handed, and
yeah.
I always remember that because in school
yeah.
he used to get in trouble for, you know, like a bunch
whatever,
of shit.
Whatever,
like yeah.
yeah. Deductive
like,
reasoning.
Oh, left-handed. Okay.
Old lefty.
Yeah. yeah
for being a Chicago, like a local Chicago actor, that, those are the kind of the parts that we're getting right now are yeah. those guys just kind of push the action forward.
That's right.
You know, so because it's kind of hard to get like a guest starring, or if you want a lead role on one of these shows, you kind of got to be L.A. or New York based, unless you just have a rockin' agent. But
so
for the most part,
terrible.
We push the story along, and that was kind of my job in that episode. Just push the story along and see if they can, you know, save the day once again with Severide and his massive pecs of steel and all
that
crap. You know?
Severide?
Yeah, Casey and Severide.
Yeah, that's Lady Gaga's ex. Ex-boyfriend,
uh-huh.
a very fine actor.
Did you get to meet
Taylor
Lady Gaga?
Kinney? No, no. Unfortunately, the Gaga wasn't there. So,
oh, man.
But he's a great guy. I will say, man, working on that set, It is one of the coolest and tightest sets that you'll be on. It's huge. It goes really fast. There's a lot of people and a lot of moving parts, but they couldn't have been nicer and more welcoming, and they just treated you with respect. So I give all those Dick Wolves shows a lot of credit, man. I mean, he's got a formula that works, and I think that's pretty cool.
No doubt. They record,
and it's given us work.
They record like one episode a week, right? So that's
Like they do it a couple months prior.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
and they are running and gunning, man,
all day long.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to do an hour a week.
Yeah, and there's 7 days a week too.
Yeah.
The episode that I was on, we shot 5 days of stuff for, you know, not a very long segment, but it was a high action segment, and they were working around the clock on several locations all week long.
That's crazy, man. So they're filming lots of different stuff at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I got you. So you show up, Sean. Now, I don't want to spoil anything that happened 3 years ago on a TV show. But on an episodic TV show, nonetheless. So you show up, and I'm guessing you're...
Oh, Chris Bryant just hit one across the street. Awesome. Sorry.
Nice. We need to get him on the show. Chris Bryant.
Yeah, he'd come on the show, I bet.
He's very good looking.
He is.
He is pretty good looking. Like Taylor Kinney from Chicago Fire.
But nothing like Sean Patrick Leonard, our guest tonight.
That's right.
There's not too many people that look like Sean Patrick Leonard, other than like Louis C.K. supposedly. That's the comparison I'm getting lately.
Hey, it could be worse.
Yeah.
I was like, really? Louis C.K.? I don't know. He's a super funny guy, and I'd love his money, but I don't think we look that much alike, other than I'm bald and he's bald.
There you go.
So. We're just sitting around wondering what...
Throw all the bald guys in together.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what Sean Patrick Leonard looks like. Why don't you give him a Google search? That'd be great.
Ah, the old Google search.
So you show up on set, and they say, okay, now in your scene, you're going to be crying, or you're going to be in shock.
Okay,
And then they say, did you have a donut over there? And then you say, yes, thank you so much. And they're like, okay, Sean, now you're going to get in this truck. You're going to see some legs sticking out from the bottom of this trailer here. And then we're going to pan over to you, and you're going to be crying. So you have 1 minute to get ready to start crying on camera.
If you're lucky.
What's your process to do that? What do you think about?
For me, you know, I just kind of put myself in the situation because it's such a running gun kind of thing. And in a way, you really have never seen anything like that before unless, you know, and usually all of their accidents are very obscure. So I just try to, I guess for me, it's just live in the moment, you know, and just try to listen. That's kind of one of the big acting tools that we're all taught in school is if you're a good listener, it's just going to be natural, whatever comes out of you. So I just try to listen, especially on big sets and things like that. Not only listening to the other actors, but just kind of like going with the flow as to what we're trying to accomplish right now. Because for them, it's just another day of work. You know, for us, it's kind of like, wow, this is mystical and magical and amazing and like the coolest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
And it's just another day of work for these guys, you know?
But a big break
so
like that.
Just trying to be...
Do you feel like to get a better partner show, you have to move out to L.A.?
Not necessarily, because there's guys that are here that are on that show that made it from here.
Joe Manoso.
So it's definitely possible.
Christian Stolte.
All
those guys.
Yeah, Christian Stolte. All those guys, Joe Manoso and Christian Stolte. And, yeah, man, there's people on PD now that are from Chicago that are getting bumped up. So that's... It's really great. And, you know, the more opportunities with the more TV shows and movies and things like that that are coming into Chicago, we're just really excited. You know, being an actor here right now is a really good thing, which hasn't always been the case in the past 20 years.
No, sir.
Yeah, did you ever do Early Edition?
Yeah.
That was the...
I was not around. I think I was probably in high school when Early Edition, maybe a little older than that, but I never got the chance to be on that one.
I was an extra.
So I was actually in a movie... I was in a thing called Machine Gun Preacher with Gerard Butler. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
I had to, like, pull a gun on him and do all this crazy stuff. And, yeah, we shot up at a crack house in Michigan, Detroit. That was wicked cool, man. And those are those days that you're like, it's so magical. This is so amazing. I so want to just put this in a bottle and never open it, you know?
Right. Just like a fart bottle.
And to Gerard Butler, he's like, got these beautiful women coming up to him on set after we're cutting and stuff like that. And I'm just like, wow, this is... And all his fans are waiting in the corner, you know, on the street at 7 o'clock in the morning. This is awesome. He was cool, too, man.
Was he cool to you?
So, yes. Oh, yeah. He was super intimidating when I first met that guy because I was like, what do you say to that dude? You're sitting next to him in the, you know, makeup chair, and you look over, and there's Gerard Butler, like, getting focused
right.
to be this guy who plays this dude who becomes a minister. But then he goes down to Africa to save all the children, and he's not afraid of killing all of those guys that are taking those kids into slavery. So he's playing this super intense part, you know, true life story and everything like that. And I'm like, oh, my God, what do I do, man? Do I just say, hey, Jerry, what's happening? We're going to be working together today, you know? I mean, hey, no.
Hey, G-Dog.
That's right, GB.
Yeah. What's happening?
Now, is he Mad Max?
So I just kind of... Yeah, he's a pretty intense guy. But then, you know, we moved to set, and the director, who's this really great guy, pretty well-known dude, comes up, and he's like, hey, man, thanks so much for coming. And I'd grow my beard out, like, really, really a lot. I looked like a real piece of work. Anyway, it's like, thanks for growing the beard. And have you met Jerry, by the way? I was like, I have not. He couldn't have been nicer, man. He's, hello, mate, what's up? Let's do some work, you know? It was cool.
And they're calling him Jerry on the set. He lets him call him Jerry.
He had me call him Jerry. I got to call
him
Jerry.
Fuck you, bro. Look at this. I didn't work out all day for you to call me Jerry.
Come on.
Right?
I'm Gerard.
Yeah, I would be Gerard too.
You just got Gerarded.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a magical little ride, you know, if you can get into it. The thing is, you know, you guys wanted to kind of talk about how hard it is. It's you have to have the backbone and the strength and the will of like 10 men at times, you know, because just the rejection alone will put any man to shame. You know, you're just over and over and over and over, and it's difficult to have that much resiliency. Are a strong human being in my book.
What's the longest stretch of auditions you've gone on without getting cast?
In the commercial world, 4 years.
Wow. That's a long
time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's been a stretch of that for me.
How do you, when you finally do get cast, do you think, what did I do different this
you
time?
You do a jig, that's for sure.
Yeah, right.
But do you think, like, what did I do different this time that made me get this part? Like, and then you compare everything.
Absolutely.
And that's what drives you crazy, right? That's what can really make you go crazy, because you're trying to figure out what socks you wore and how you did something one way and all that shit.
Sure. It's funny. You have to learn to put that out of your brain pretty much the moment you step outside of that door. You know, you get 5 minutes to impress them. You've got to let it go at the door. It's really hard, but if you've been doing it long enough, you can finally just, like, I'm moving on. You know, I did it. I was there. I made myself available. And that's what it pretty much is. It's like, you're a professional interviewer, right? I mean, that's what we do for a living. I've gone on, like, 300 interviews this year alone kind of thing. And if you get one job out of the 300, that's like a good day, a really good day, and it makes your year sometimes.
That's right.
But it's like playing the lottery with your life, and that's scary. So I just have a very supportive system around me. You know, I have a loving wife and 2 great kids and, you know, a mother and a father that you know, are totally for me doing this. So I've been doing it for like 20 years now.
Do you have to take other
behind
jobs
the, or
sometimes?
Doing the camera stuff. Oh, my God, yeah, I was in the restaurant business for 30 years. You know, even now, to make ends meet, you know, I'll take little side jobs doing corporate stuff or, you know, I've driven Uber, you know, so we do what we can kind of thing, because until you become the next Christian Stolte or Joe Manoso or something like that, you're just trying to, you know, make a living, and making a living as an actor is, but can be had, you know, as long as you just keep living that dream, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the hardest and easiest way to look at this whole thing. It's just like, if you could just look at it If you don't want to do anything else in this life, just that, then do it. But right. if you want to do anything else, get out of acting.
Get out of
because
it now, right?
It will it'll swallow you up. I mean, in a lot of people, some people will do it as a hobby, and some will leave for a long time and then come back. It doesn't negate what you've done and what you're striving for, but I know that they always say never quit, especially in this business, unless you absolutely have to. And if you have to, then you have to. But luckily for me, I have not had to, and it's been good. I changed over to a new representation, and they have been magnificent for me. And, you know, I'm working on some new stuff. I'm working on this new movie called Rockabye.
There's Rockabye. Now let's talk about this.
Yeah, what's up with Rockabye?
Rockabye is the story of John, whose wife is killed in a car accident.
Right.
And what?
Yeah, so...
go ahead. He was driving.
The way it kind of... The story goes is... in the story, John, they're celebrating her 39th birthday. They go out, they party, and, you know, they crash. She passes away. He's left with his two young children and massive injuries from the accident. So not only does he have to be basically now the only parent around the house, he's got to heal emotionally and also physically. And he's taking care of a 4- and a 6-year-old. Which I don't know if you guys have kids or not, but if you do...
I've never even seen a kid.
You need...
Let's try to stay away from it as much as possible. Like,
kids and Komodo dragons.
That's probably a good idea, man. Or you want to turn back around.
So,
amazing.
So you wrote this as well.
I did.
So you're going to be the... Have you filmed
it yet? I
did,
yeah. It came from... with that?
Have you filmed it yet?
Oh, not yet. So we're right in the middle of our Indiegogo campaign, which is a lot of people are familiar with it. You know, we basically get on there, and it's a great way to help contribute to the movie with some great perks and things like that. So right now we're halfway through it. We got about 2 weeks left. So if people are interested, you go to Indiegogo/Rockabye the film.
Okay,
right.
And just click on there to read more about us. Basically...
I wanted to ask you about some of these perks here. Now, if I donate to this movie, I'm looking at the page right now. Rockabye.
Okay.
All right. So if I donate $5, Jazz, will get an electronic thank you note.
Really?
If I've been $10, then I'll get a PDF of the film's poster that will be emailed to me. Ooh. $25, copy of the movie poster on actual paper. $35, tickets to a Chicago screening. $35, you could also do a t-shirt with the film's poster instead. Or you could do also for $35 an autographed prop from the movie.
Wow.
$50 a signed script. $50 a Rockabye comic book.
Comic book?
$200 a private screening.
Private screening?
$500, here we go. Now we're getting to the real stuff here. $500, dinner with writer and director.
Wow.
Now, if a bunch of people donate $500, Sean, you're going to have a lot of fucking dinners with weirdos. You understand?
It's cool. I like to cook. I am totally fine with that. I mean, if they are willing to donate to the cause and help us tell this amazing story, absolutely.
Right. For $1,000.
With a lot of folks.
Now, here we go. For $1,000, you have...
I believe it's executive producer status. Is that correct?
Nope, not yet. Not yet. You have three choices for $1,000. Okay. $1,000, you can be an associate producer with a set visit. Uh-huh. For $1,000, you could also set visit to direct a take from the movie.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty cool. Or $1,000.
That would be pretty cool.
Sean will do hand stuff on you for $1,000.
Awesome.
How about that?
$1,001 for that.
Or for $3,000, if you just donated, if you were like, fuck it, I'm ready to go, and you threw down $3,000 right now, you would become an executive producer.
Wow.
And have credit on IMDb.
Dang, that's impressive.
But no ownership rights.
Sure, that's fair. That's fair.
So here's
I'll definitely take you to dinner.
So, Sean, here's what I think you can do to up this a little bit. Instead of a thank you, electronic thank you note for $5, what about you you get a, what's something you can mail them, maybe? A cigarette?
Okay, that's great. Anderson, a cigarette.
I could. A $5 cigarette. I can definitely give them a $5 yeah. cigarette.
And an emailed thank you note.
What of course.
Else? What else could you get?
It's really creative.
What's something
Anderson?
Else you got laying around the house, Sean, you can do
you
for $5?
Like,
I got some dirty
them.
Underwear. Do you want to throw that in there?
Yeah, well, that'll save that for the $20 level.
Yeah.
Also, I don't right. see... I don't see anything between 5 and 10. There's no $7 level of donating.
There's a $9.50 level.
Yeah, $9.50.
It's basically, I take you to a movie by yourself. I just pay for your movie. How's that?
Yeah. And then you make nothing on that, on the $9.50. They give you $9.50 and you pay $10.
Exactly.
For the
I'm thinking, I know.
Maybe.
But at least we have the love of movies in common.
You could send them an empty CD jewel case.
Oh, there you go. With maybe like some kind of. Like a mouth swab in there or something. So it'd be like, you got
okay.
some of my DNA.
It's true. I have cardboard. I just have random things of cardboard laying around.
That's pretty
how much
cool.
do you think that would?
You could do
58 cents or something like that.
Very
would
you useful.
Go,
yeah, you can do $5.
Because every penny counts, you know.
Right. That's pretty cool. So when is it, when are you guys going to start making this movie?
Well, we're, you know, knee-deep in that process. So we've already begun all the pre-production things, but going to camera hopefully in October, and we've already got it partially cast, which is really great. Besides myself, actually my wife, Mercedes Rolfs, who has been an actor for quite some time. She was also a burlesque dancer with the Flaming Dames. She's also going to be in it as well. Yeah.
Is she getting burlesque-y in
so,
it?
Yeah, she's also a... Yeah, you know, we'll see. We'll talk about it.
You could do
our great director, David Bradburn, he's open to hearing some ideas from her, I'm sure.
You could do a dream sequence where you're recalling her in the past after she's gone.
Yeah, where she's dancing for you.
Sure.
David Bradburn, if you're hearing this is all you, buddy.
Yeah. You need to call David Bradburn and be like, you listen to me. You better put my naked wife in this movie.
Listen here, Bradford.
Do you know how many hand jobs I had to give to get the money?
To get my naked wife in this movie?
True.
Anyway, all right, Sean, well, good luck with
this. Absolutely true.
I think it's going to be great, and hopefully when you got it coming out, you come into the studio so we can have you on the show to talk
yeah.
about it.
I would love that.
That'd be awesome.
That would be great.
And one last favor for our listeners. Will you spell rockabye? How are you spelling rockabye? Are there dashes in there? Is it just one word?
No, it's just one word. R-O-C-K-A-B-Y-E.
All right.
It's rockabye the film on the Indiegogo, and there you go.
Sweet, dude.
Sounds great. All right, thank you, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
Hey, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thanks.
You guys be well.
Best
Talk
of luck.
To you later.
Have a great night,
buddy. Peace. Bye.
Go Cubs.
Go Cubs.
Later, guys. 5-1. Bye.
That was great. Well, all right, Anderson. How about we take a break after that awesome interview with Sean Patrick Leonard about his movie, Rockabye?
Yeah, we'll take a break. During the break, you'll be able to hear Chapter 2 of the novelization of Ghostbusters, of the screenplay.
Of the film.
Of the film of Ghostbusters 2.
That's right.
Sounds fun. We'll be right back after that.
Yeah, buddy. This is the Game Show Showing Stuff on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. We'll be right back after this special presentation.
The following is yet another very special presentation of the Game Show Show and Stuff Dramatic Reading Series, featuring the And Stuff Productions Radio Theater Players. Now for an excerpt from Chapter 2 of the novelization of the screenplay of the film of Ghostbusters 2. From the book written by B.B. Hiller, based on a motion picture written by Harold Ramis and Dan Aykroyd, based on the characters created by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. An Ivan Reitman film, starring Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Sigourney Weaver, Harold Ramis, Rick Moranis, and Ernie Hudson. And others. Ghostbusters 2. Chapter 2. While Dana was struggling with Oscar and the very strange behavior of his baby carriage, some of her old friends, the Ghostbusters, were having their struggles too. Ray Stantz and Winston Zeddemore had just entered an expansive brownstone on New York City's west side. Ms. Gault, the woman who led them through the house, had a worried expression on her face.
How many of them are there, ma'am?
Stantz asked politely.
14,
she said.
They're in the back. I hope you can handle them. It's been like a nightmare.
Ray and Winston adjusted their proton packs. They were ready for the worst, and they got it. Then Ms. Gault opened the door to the playroom. There, Ray and Winston saw 14 7-year-olds celebrating Sam Gault's birthday.
Oh, Ghostbusters! Boo! We want an E-Man!
Yelled one of the kids. One of the little boys tossed a glob of ice cream into the air.
Oh, the floor's been slimed, Ms. Gault!
He whined.
And they didn't do anything about it.
He pointed to Ray and Winston.
Time for the song.
Winston pushed the play button on his proton pack.
The familiar theme of the Ghostbusters began wailing, and when the song asked who would they call, the kids yelled,
He-Man!
Ray and Winston looked at one another. Kids at birthday parties could be really obnoxious. Ray and Winston would have preferred tangling with a full torso apparition.
Funny in maybe a way or two.
But not as many as scary.
No, not quite as...
Now, there's many ways.
It's not like Komodo dragon scary.
No.
But, you know.
Oh,
dude,
God.
I'm thinking about them all
week.
We
need to write the Komodo dragon movie.
Yeah.
Here's one movie called Komodo versus Cobra. 2.8 out of 10.
Really?
Not great.
Not
so
great at all.
So what we're saying is the bar is low.
That's
so
right.
We have nowhere to go but up.
Yeah.
It's terror times two when scientists accidentally create man-eating monsters that jeopardize the entire planet.
Easy for you to say.
Komodo versus Cobra. And it's PG-13. It's not even fucking rated R.
PG-13? Man, come
How can
on.
You really see people's bodies be ripped apart?
Yeah, there's no way.
It sucks.
Yeah, this is bullshit.
Well, right? We're going to have to set the record straight and make it right in the world by creating a proper Komodo dragon movie. Let's do it.
Now here, listen to this. From the writers of Anaconda and the special effects creator of Jurassic Park comes Komodo. 15-year-old Patrick has spent many summer holidays with his parents at their cottage on a small island off the coast of South Carolina. In recent years, a major oil company developed on the island, polluting the local environment and damaging tourism.
Oh.
Komodo!
Ooh.
I'm not
Komodo!
Gonna tell you. No spoilers.
Oh.
Except the oil company's ruined it.
Ooh.
What a fucking nightmare.
Oh.
What a mess.
We're taking this audience on a roller coaster ride.
Here we are. Ooh.
If they haven't logged off already.
All right, let's do birthday shout out.
Yeah, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, and today is August 9th, 2016, which means it's a great day to be
a well-versed author,
a multi-talented actor,
a dual sport legend,
or D, all of the above.
What's up, English writer guy John Dryden?
Poet, critic, translator, playwright, you were the first poet laureate of England. Suck it, Shakespeare!
They called you Glorious John because of how you dominated the Restoration period like a boss.
You established the heroic couplet, introduced the Alexandrine line of poetic meter, and wrote hella successful satires, dope fables, and bombastic epigrams. Fuck William Wordsworth!
And next up, we got badass actor in Roadhouse and Tombstone, Sam Elliott.
A wiser fellow than myself once said, sometimes you eat the bar, and sometimes the bar, well, he eats you. Is that some kind of Eastern thing? Far from it!
Either way,
I like your style, dude.
You've played everything from cowboys to soldiers to generals to former Marlboro Man advertisement cowboys who've developed lung cancer. Can you say range?
Yep, home on the range. Not many people know you're a singer and a poet, too.
Woo!
Well, we'll cozy up to your campfire anytime, amigo. But we may kindly turn down your offer, of course, of banquet beer.
That stuff sucks!
Take it easy, boys. And what's up, Neon Deion Sanders?
You played football, you played baseball, you played both at the same time for 11 years. Crazy, yo!
You were the 92 MLB Triples Champion and the 94 NFL Defensive Player of the Year. Mad game, bruh.
Haters love to hate, but everybody wish they had you on their team. Enough respect, though.
True that.
And let's not forget,
best rapper on the scene, Curtis Blow.
Her name is not Susan, Whitney Houston.
60 sports sex symbols, Rod Laver, Ralph Hulk, and Bob Cousy.
Former footballers with weirdly cool names, Louis Lips and Jim Kick.
Good old Comedy Central star Thomas Lennon and not bad old Hulk Eric Bana.
Former basketballers turned former coaches Vinny Del Negro and Derek Fisher.
Also Hollywood hottie Anna Kendrick, television treasure Gillian Anderson, and tabloid train wreck Melanie Griffith.
Fabulous fashion fairy Michael Kors, morning TV wacko Hoda Kotb, and that son of an ancient...
Good one, Johnny Moe.
And that son of an NHL Hall of Famer, Brett Hall.
Bears tongue twister Adewale Ogunleye, and
nice.
Cubs mind boggler Jason Hayward.
Yeah, buddy.
And today's birthday shout-out band is...
On bass, Billy Henderson of the Spinners, Benjamin Orr of the Cars, and hard bopper Butch Warren.
On drums, Sam Fogarino of Interpol, and Chicago's own jazz legend, Jack DeJohnette.
Yeah. Weird vocals by the mighty Hannibal.
And hard-hitting raps by Mac 10.
If you've got a birthday shout-out, drop us a line at andstuff@radiomisfits.com.
Yes, please do. Birthday shout-outs are made possible by Today in History, an application developed by Downshift Interactive and available online for free.
Visit the App Store and Google Play for information.
Yeah. Good times. Good times. What a bunch of great birthdays today.
Jazz, all this talk about birthdays makes me want to have a Jets pizza.
Yeah, me too.
Life is short. Jets. Eat better pizza. Jets pizza. Jets pizza.
Jets pizza is good, man. That's good stuff.
It's big. It's thick.
Oh, it's awesome.
It's got a guy with a rocket pack on the thing.
Yeah. Ooh. I think we need to come up with a commercial for Jets pizza, and I could be the guy because I got the mustache right
but
now.
But you don't have a fucking rocket pack.
But
dude.
I can make one.
Okay, well. Yet to be determined.
Look out. No. What do you mean yet to be determined? I'll make a motherfucking jetpack, bitch.
Can you make a jetpack that has that sound every
time
you do the thing?
Yeah. Goddamn right.
There he goes.
What a show, you guys. What a show.
Well, we've really outdone ourselves. Yeah, I'll say. We ate chicken wings.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about stuff.
Yep.
Nobody died.
Amen.
Woo, we that's learned a good about Chicago actor Sean Patrick Leonard's independent project, Rockabye,
yeah,
and his quest to get that funded and on screen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
Very cool.
All right.
And the Cubs are winning.
So that's great.
And we learned about the dick move in the Olympics.
Oh,
so.
And Wes still sucks.
Wes, if you're listening... Fuck off.
Eat shit, Wes. And for everybody else out there, see you next Tuesday!
Yeah!
That's it! It's over! The show's over!
Let me get my shoes! What the f*** happened to my shoes?
Okay, show's over.
Son of a bitch.